The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Frank is off today. He'll be back Monday. And they called and asked if I would fill in. And I love to be on here and talking with you. And we'll take some calls later on at 888-528-2557. But we have our impact segment as we begin today is an issue that is front and center in today's world. With things that are going on in our world with the LGBTQ community, and I thought that we would kick off this hour. In fact, I have an in-studio guest, Caleb Kaltenbach. Caleb, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so glad that you decided to come in and join us here today on the Frank Sontag Show, and I know Frank would love to visit with you sometime. Caleb is an interesting story, one of the most amazing stories that I've ever come across in all my years of ministry, and that is saying something. Caleb started off years ago at our church, kind of showed up out of nowhere and just kept working until we finally looked at the guy and said, man, this guy, he just wants to work and serve the Lord, and we ended up bringing him on our staff and ended up leading one of our campuses. But Caleb, you have probably one of the most unique stories of anyone that I know. And I'll let the cat out of the bag, and then you can explain the details of it for our listeners. Okay. But you were raised by two parents that were a man and a woman, husband and wife, and they divorced, and they both became gay or turned gay, however you phrase that. And somehow you were raised in this, what I call a dysfunctional situation, and turned out to be a somewhat normal person.
Somewhat.
But a proclaimer of God and God's truth and God's grace. And if anybody understands that people who are in need need the gospel, it's you, Caleb. But I want you to take just a moment and tell people your unique story in your own words.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Yeah. My parents divorced, and my dad was in the closet. My mom went into a 22-year relationship with a psychologist named Vera. My parents were both professors, so my dad kept on teaching at Stevens College and the University of Missouri-Columbia. My mom and Vera moved to Kansas City. They became activists. They were on the local board of directors for GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Awareness Against Defamation or Discrimination. And I grew up being raised in the LGBTQ community in Kansas City. They took me with them to pride parades, activist events. They took me with them to house parties, campouts, and everything. And I remember this one pride parade I was marching in when I was in elementary school. I saw my mom and Vera and all their friends there, and there are all these quote-unquote Christians holding up signs saying Jesus hates you, there's no room for you. When people tried to go talk to them, they would get sprayed with water and urine by these so-called Christians. And I remember thinking to myself, I never want to be a Christian, because if Christians are this bad and Jesus is their leader, I can't imagine how awful Jesus Christ must be. Mm. And so by the time I got to high school, I had no world-centered worldview. It was really messed up. My hair used to be down past my shoulders, and since then the Lord removeth and taketh away. And I ended up going to Bible study to learn how to disprove the Bible, but I learned that the Bible is actually disproving my worldview, and I learned that Jesus was nothing like what I thought. He had very deep theological convictions and very real expectations for how his followers should live, but he also had very real and personal relationships with people who were nothing like him. And those who were nothing like him actually liked him, and he liked them back. And I was like, man, I can get on board with that. And so I ended up going to a church youth group. The senior pastor there was actually a mutual friend of ours, Max Jennings, in Columbia, Missouri. Right. And his son actually ended up baptizing me when I was a junior in high school. And I went home and told my parents and told them I was a Christian, and I had changed my view on sexuality to believing that God designed sexual intimacy to be expressed in marriage between a man and a woman, and that I wanted to be a pastor. So they kicked me out for a while. And I stayed at some different friends' houses. Another mutual friend, a guy named Roy Weiss, stayed at his house and some other people's houses for a while. Eventually came back and moved out to Los Angeles until you guys hired me. I just hung around the office, and finally you're like, we got to do something about that. That's also how I got my wife to marry me. I just started hanging out around her. She couldn't get rid of me.
You're like a gnat.
Yeah, I'm like a gnat. I'm like a gnat, and she couldn't control her attraction. And so I ended up going to Texas for a while, and while I was there, my parents separately moved there and moved there to be closer to our family.
When you say your parents, are you talking about your mom and Vera?
My mom and dad. Vera died back in February 2005 from cancer.
Okay.
And so unless a miracle happened, she died without Christ. And so my mom and dad, separately of one another, moved down to Texas to be closer to our family. Then they said, can we start attending the church that you preach at? And I'm like, sure, but you know what I believe about, sexuality. And they said, yeah. And I said, come on. And people there loved on them, treated them great. And in the summer of 2013, about 2 weeks before I moved back to Southern California, my mom and dad, separately of one another, at the ages of 69, 70, trusted Jesus. They gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
So that's my story.
So Caleb, but you were raised by gay parents.
Yes.
And do you remember going back, when you look at those formative years, do you feel like did you believe you were in a dysfunctional family at that time, or did you think that was a normal family?
It was interesting. At that time, most of the time, I didn't think it was dysfunctional. But here's where I began to realize whether you want to call it dysfunctional or the fact that it was different. My mom and her partner had very wild lifestyles that, just would even be horrible for a heterosexual couple. But anyway, when I was in junior high and high school and people would ask me about my parents, I would never tell them that I had two moms who were gay.
Okay.
Or that I thought that my dad was gay. I would never tell them that because I didn't want to get made fun of. I thought for sure that people would not understand that, that people would make fun of them. And I just have always felt like I was different. And I am a different person. I embrace my difference. I'm not creepy strange. I'm just good strange.
Okay.
And but yet I think God allowed me to have that experience to be able to speak into matters today and to do what I'm doing now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. My name is Dudley Rutherford. I'm filling in for Frank Sontag on the Frank Sontag Show. And my guest is Caleb Kaltenbach. He's an author of a book called Messy Grace, raised by gay parents. And Caleb grew up in that basically raised by parents who followed and were involved in that lifestyle. And somehow he gets saved in high school and ends up wanting to be a minister. And do you remember how that went, how the calling upon God, upon your life to go into ministry? Can you touch on that story briefly?
Yeah, I was at an event called CIY, or Christ in Youth, in Bolivar, Missouri on a Wednesday night. There was a guy there that we both know named Robin Sigers who was preaching.
Yes.
And he was just talking about how his wife had died, how some of his friends had died, and he really felt like people needed to come forward and give their lives to full-time ministry. And he said, I'll promise you, you will never make enough money, but I promise you, you will never feel more fulfilled than when you serve Jesus full-time.
Wow.
And I walked forward a week to the day that I got baptized when I was in the summer before my junior year in high school, and I haven't looked back. Like anybody that's been in ministry, there have been great seasons, there have been low seasons, but Jesus has been with me every single season.
Yeah, and the point really that God called you out of a dysfunctional upbringing into ministry, and now our country today is confused on gender issues, where we now have who knows how many different genders are being promoted, and there is a book that you wrote called Messy Grace, and I love the title of your book, Messy Grace. There are so many people that are caught up in the things of this world. And a lot of people, especially here in Hollywood, West Hollywood, and different parts of the country, that have become very, very, very sympathetic and promote what we call the gay lifestyle. And so churches that, you know, like Shepherd Church and other churches that are to be standards and standard bearers of the gospel, to preach the truth of God's love to people, yet still not negating sin in people's lives. And we believe, you know, sin is sin, and we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. Yet there's been so much confusion in a church on how to handle a teacher that maybe is working with in the nursery, or maybe in a Sunday school class, comes out as gay, or how do you screen people who are working with different areas of your ministry? Can a gay person join your church? There's a million questions involving the church and homosexuality, and somehow God has elevated you, Caleb, I think, again, as you've stated, out of the background that you came out of, to kind of be the spokesman right now. You travel, at least pre-COVID, you're all over the United States of America almost every weekend speaking in some church that is wrestling with these issues. And you've probably looked at it because you've got both sides of it. But you wrote this book called Messy Grace. And I want you to explain where that title came from, and what is the gist of that book, and how can it help someone who right now is wrestling through some of these questions?
Yeah. So I named the book Messy Grace. And it's so funny. I can always tell when somebody hasn't read the book, because they'll email me. They'll just say, well, God's grace isn't messy. I'm like, yeah, no joke. Exactly. It's not. But the reason why I called it Messy Grace is that God's perfect grace, when it hits our life and when we are the recipients of God's perfect grace, it looks messy because of our messy lives. And if you don't agree with me, go read Jonah chapter 4. And you can see messy grace in action. And Jonah gets upset because God saves the Ninevites, right? And he's just like, how can you do that? These people this, and these people have done this, and they're horrible, and you're going to let them do that, God? God's like, yeah, that's what grace is. If you don't understand it, then that's what grace is. And so grace is perfect, but it seems messy to us. And part of understanding messy grace is the first two letters in the word messy, M-E, me. We need to first look in the mirror, and we need to own our stuff, and we need to realize that, hey, I've got my faults, and I've got my issues, and I still have my struggles, and I am still being sanctified by the Spirit. And so I need to come and journey with people in humility. And so that's what the gist of this book is. It's how do you love your LGBTQ family and friends without sacrificing your theological convictions? Because there are a lot of people nowadays who believe that if somebody comes out to them, then they need to change what they believe about what the Bible says about marriage, or what the Bible says about relationships or sexuality or identity or so on and so forth in order to keep this relationship with them. And I'm like, no, you don't. Jesus loved people perfectly, but he never shifted in his theology. Never. If anything, the love of Jesus should make us love that person all the more with a relentless, reckless love that God has for us. But you don't have to shift in your theology to love people. You love people, and you hold on to your theology. That's what the book is about.
And why do we think we have to do one or the other?
Because there's tension. Whenever there's tension between what we believe and somebody that we love, their choices, their beliefs, their opinions, the way they vote, their views, whenever there's tension there, we feel uncomfortable. And if it was comfortable, they would call it something else. They wouldn't call it tension. But we don't like tension. And so we try to do whatever we can quickly to resolve this tension in between us and them. And really what Jesus asks us to do is to stand in the midst of the tension. That's why in John 1, 14 and 17 says that Jesus Christ came full of both grace and truth, that he was full of both. And instead of trying to resolve the tension, we need to realize that God never called us to resolve the tension. He called us to live in the tension. And that's part of the reason why I think the Pharisees hated Jesus, because he was gracious when they expected him to be truthful, and he was truthful when they expected him to be gracious.
That's true. I'm talking to Caleb Kaltenbach, who wrote a book called Messy Grace. and dealing basically with the issue. He was raised by gay parents, and yet Caleb turned out good and turned out to be a pastor. God called him into ministry. He has served as a pastor of several churches, but now kind of finds himself in the position of traveling around the country and talking about issues that we face in the local church, especially with people that are caught up in the lifestyle of homosexuality. And the Bible does have a lot to say about that issue. And you have a follow-up book coming out in August called Messy Truth. Messy Truth. And so what's the difference between Messy Truth? How is that going to be different than Messy Grace?
So Messy Grace is all about the subtitle of Messy Grace is How a Pastor with Gay Parents Learned to Love Others Without Sacrificing Conviction. Messy Grace is about our personal one-on-one relationships with individuals. Messy Truth subtitle is How to Foster Community Without Sacrificing Conviction. So Messy Truth, whereas Messy Grace is more about your personal one-on-one relationships, Messy Truth is asks the question, how can I get my LGBTQ loved ones into and connected to a Christ-centered redemptive community? And I know that you also believe this, Pastor Dudley, because, you know, I attend Shepherd every weekend I'm in town. Even when I'm not, I listen to your sermons and listen to Pastor Walling's sermons, even when he's not funny. I still listen to him. So I love Jeff. But I really believe that people find and follow Jesus better in community than in isolation. Mm. You ask people all the time, invite them to church, invite them with you, take them to your small group, do this, bring them to this event. Because there is power in community, and people find and follow Jesus better in community than in isolation. I bet that when you look at your life, whether it's within your family, whether it's within Bible college, wherever it is, some of your most formative moments have probably happened in the midst of your relationships, right?
Right.
And so that's why I wrote that book.
Caleb, we're gonna actually open up the phone lines. If someone has any question for you regarding either of your books, Messy Grace, Messy Truth, or what to do in a local church with the issue of homosexuality. We want to talk about some of these LGBTQ issues that our country's facing at this very moment. I want to hand out this phone number, 888. You can remember that, 888-528-2557. This is Dudley Rutherford filling in for Frank Sontag, and we're just talking to Caleb Kaltenbach. Caleb, there's so much going on in our country, and before we dive into the Equality Act that was just passed in the House, H.R. 5, is your heart burdened for where our country is today spiritually, and where does this issue of sexual identity and the LGBTQ issues, where does that fit into where our country is today?
I am so burdened. I can't tell you how burdened that I am. I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep the night before. And I think about these things, and I'm burdened because of several things. Number one, I'm burdened by the false dichotomies that our society believes in, where if you don't agree with something with all the provisions in the Equality Act, if there are some things you like but some things you don't, you're still considered a bigot. You have this rise of extremism, and that's a false dichotomy. It's a logical fallacy, and yet our society is embracing logical fallacies. It keeps me up at night, Dudley, seriously. And I actually lead a high school group in our church, in Shepherd Church.
Right.
But it keeps me up at night that the students who relate in some way as LGBTQ, the suicidality, the suicide rate is so high. It shouldn't be that way. And you have people who try to take advantage of that on the left, and they try to say, well, it's because of conservative Christians and it's because of fundamentalists and, you know, this is why. No, I've talked to a lot of these families. That is not why. There are always extremists in every single group. It doesn't matter. But there's something else going on. And I think the further that our identity gets away from Jesus – sorry about that – further our identity gets away from Jesus, the more issues we have in our society. Because when it comes down to it, you know, we're going to talk about LGBTQ, we're going to talk about the Equality Act. When it comes down to it, the main issue that humanity has always dealt with is identity. Even from in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent tempted Eve, he went after her identity. He said, no, eat the fruit, you'll be just like God, knowing the difference.
Right.
And this is an identity issue.
Yeah. Caleb, I think that we want to open up the phone lines for anybody who wants to call and have any type of question regarding this topic. 888-528-2557. We'll probably get to you after the break here. But I think the heart of any discussion, and the discussions sometimes are difficult because when it's someone in your family or it's someone in your neighborhood, someone you're related to, someone in your church that decides to walk down this road, as a church, so often we don't know how to go get that lost sheep. We don't know exactly what to say or how to handle these very delicate issues that are important. We want to do it gracefully, but we also want to do it truthfully. And I feel like you've reached that balance between those two things. And but I do want to before we go into the break, I just want to say that at the heart of the gospel, the heart of why Jesus came into this world, is to reach people, regardless of where they are spiritually, how far they have drifted, how steep in sin they are. The heart, the issue is still, how do we reach those people? How do we reach people that are not walking the way we're walking without being judgmental, but doing in a very, very loving way? This is Pastor Dudley Rutherford. We're going to continue this topic in just a few moments. I am filling in today for the famous Frank Sontag on the Frank Sontag Show. Oh, it's Pastor Dudley Rutherford filling in for Frank Sontag on the Frank Sontag Show. My guest today is Caleb Kaltenbach, author and speaker of Messy Grace and Messy Truth, a book coming out this summer. And we're just talking a little bit about the LGBTQ issues and how Caleb grew up in a home with gay parents, and yet somehow God led him into ministry, and he now travels the country talking to churches. You know, there's all kinds of questions, good questions, normal questions. If my friend comes out to me, should I keep the friendship? Is it sin to be in a same-sex attraction relationship? What should I do if I'm afraid to come out? Should I attend a same-sex wedding? You'd be shocked by how many times people ask me as a pastor, hey, I've got a friend they're having a same, should I even attend, let alone as a pastor perform that? So there's thousands of questions regarding. If you have a question, we want you to call, and we'll put you on the air at 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. Again, Dudley Rutherford from Shepherd Church filling in for Frank Sontag, who'll be back here on Monday. Caleb, front and center of our country today is this Equality Act that the Biden-Harris administration has been pushing and promoting, and actually I think the Congress just voted on this. Can you tell people what, in your viewpoint, this legislation is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Equality Act has appeared in front of Congress ever since 1974. In some shape or form, it's appeared ever since 1974. And specifically, what Congress just passed, what the House just passed yesterday, has been in front of them since 2015, 17, and 19. And there are some, you know, good things in the Equality Act. There are some good things in there, but there are some troubling things in there. But what I really want to zero in on is the religious freedom, because there's a section in there, section 1107.claims. It's one long sentence. It says this: the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under covered title, or provide a basis for challenging the application of enforcement of a covered title. Now, that's just the big, long, fancy, unneeded sentence that pretty much says that this Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, that a lot of religious organizations have used to be able to protect themselves from lawsuits over things like sexuality and hiring and human resources practices, so on and so forth, that will be gone if the Equality Act gets signed into law by Biden. Like, it's gone. It's it's zip, it's out of there. It doesn't mean that there are no other protections for religious freedom. This is just a huge cornerstone of our protection for religious organizations that was even signed into law by President Clinton. And you know who actually introduced this bill, Pastor Dudley? Chuck Schumer introduced this bill, and it was co-sponsored by Ted Kennedy, out of all people.
Okay.
And Bill Clinton signed it into law, and yet this has been able to defend our rights, and this will be taken away if the Equality Act gets signed into law.
Is there anything good in the Equality Act?
I mean, yeah, there are some good things in there, where you and I both have our theological belief that God designed sexual intimacy to be expressed in marriage between a man and a woman. But I have my theological belief. There are people who are in same-sex relationships in other states, and they cannot get even a credit card because they're in a same-sex relationship. Depending on the municipality they're in or the city they're in, you know, they can't even get a home loan. And so while I have my theological belief, you know, if somebody wants to get a credit card, I don't think that their sexual orientation should really factor into that.
Right.
But that's not a theological issue. So.
And what's happening, though, today, though, Caleb, is this because of this act, this bill that's been passed, you have in high schools and junior high school kids, you've got men, boys, males who can go out for the girls' volleyball team. The guy can be 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", competing against girls that are 5'5", and all of us are forced to accept that, which I refuse to accept it. I'm not. I mean, you're going to have to get a gun and shoot me before I accept that. I'm not accepting that that's normal. But that the problem is where, again, not only is this wrong now, but where it's leading us as a country, where there's not going to be any differential between male and female in this country.
Well, what we use as a measuring stick are of any kind of foundation is slowly being taken away to where there were no absolutes in the way we thought of absolutes, and the only absolutes are to say that there are no absolutes. So, I mean, the direction we're headed with that is so troublesome. Here's the other thing, is the DSM, which is the big, fat, purple book. My wife is a therapist. It has all the clinical disorders and everything. Gender dysphoria.
Yes.
You know, that is still in there. They have not taken that out. The American Psychological Association has not yet taken that out. It is still in there. And I do believe gender dysphoria is real. But I really have a difficult time believing that that trying to resolve the tension that people feel between their biological sex and their gender, you should do that through medical means. The suicide rate, Dudley, after people have gotten their sex reassignment surgery,
yes,
is skyrocketing. It's 48% of people who have had their gender reassignment surgery have attempted suicide at least once.
And they're talking about the government actually paying for these surgeries for elementary school kids.
Yeah, and corporations, businesses.
Caleb, we've got Martha on line one. She's calling from Los Angeles, and she is a Christian, and she's receiving blowback from Christians that from her interacting or from people that are interacting with LGBT community. Martha, how are you today? And welcome to the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, pastors. Thank you for talking to me. So, Caleb, I've heard you speak before about standing in the gap, and I just wondered. I feel like sometimes Christians, and I am one, will see me interacting with the LGBTQ community because it's part of my job, and they don't want to be associated with sin, so they don't want to be associated with me. For some reason, it makes them feel uncomfortable, so I guess I was wondering, how do you confidently stand in the gap?
I would keep on. Well, here's the thing. I would keep doing what you're doing, because people like that, unfortunately, people who don't like to be around people who have sinned, I would love to find out the last person they led to Christ or the last person they invited to church. because if you don't like to be around people who sin, you definitely won't like church. You definitely won't like to be on earth. You definitely won't like yourself. And so you just treating people who relate or identify as LGBTQ as regular people, that makes you very relatable. That makes you very empathetic. That actually earns you influence, okay, with the people that you're interacting with. And when you have influence, your words carry weight. And when the right time comes, you're able, when God sets that up, that divine appointment, you're able to be able to share the gospel with that person, and your words will actually have weight. But you cannot let the detractors who judge you, worry you. Because here's the deal. Those same type of people judge Jesus, okay? And if you are going to be judged for anything, you're in good company if you are judged for the same things Jesus was judged for, loving people who are not like him.
Amen. Caleb, when you travel and go into different churches, what are some of the most important issues that churches are wrestling with today?
Some of the big issues that churches are wrestling with is, with students, how do they provide a safe place for students and even unchurched students, unbelieving students, to come to church and to dialogue about identity and about faith? A lot of churches are asking the question, how do we create an environment where a person's identity in Christ is not in competition with their sexuality, where the two aren't pitted against one another, where their sexuality is surrendered to Jesus? How do you create an environment that really compels that? People are asking the question, especially parents. My kid came out to me, I don't know what to do. I feel like I've failed. I feel like I've messed up. Something must have happened. I don't get it. And a lot of the times, no, you didn't, okay? You need to keep being the loving parent that you are, and God will honor that. I get so many different family questions, Pastor Dudley. There's one more that I'll tell you about. I don't know if we have time, but there's one more.
Yeah, we need to take a little break. This is Pastor Dudley Rutherford from Shepherd Church filling in for Frank Sontag on his show here on KKLA. And Caleb has a book called Messy Grace, and you can get a hold of him at messygracegroup.org. That's messygracegroup.org. And I'd love to hear any more questions that you have that maybe God put on your heart that you'd like to ask Caleb, someone who's really walked down this road and been involved. I know as a pastor that there are many of these issues that we struggle with, trying to have this balance between grace and truth. The number is 888-528-2557. This is Pastor Dudley Rutherford filling in on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. This is Pastor Dudley Rutherford of Shepherd Church, and we're live here. We preach every night at 7 o'clock here at 99.5 FM. Frank Sontag is a dear, dear brother, and he's taking a day off today. He'll be back with you on Monday, and I'm here filling in at his desk, although I can never fill his shoes because he is the best of the best at what he does. But we are thankful and excited today to be coming to you live, talking with Caleb Kaltenbach, an author and speaker of a book called Messy Grace, and he's got a book coming out in August called Messy Truth. Caleb was raised by gay parents, and God called him out of that dysfunctional home into ministry, and today he travels and speaks to churches and different organizations and is really probably the leading spokesman on this issue of what's going on in our country and how churches can practically and biblically deal with people that are gay, helping churches figure out a way to reach that community. And I'll just say as a pastor, there has never been, Caleb, a group of or an individual of someone that I never looked at them thinking that they're unredeemable. Every single person I've ever met, I don't care what group you're affiliated with, I've always believed that the grace of God is more powerful than any sin that we might find ourselves in. I also believe, Caleb, for anyone who's interested in knowing, I don't feel that anyone else's sins are worse than my own personal sins. Well, the Bible says we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But as the church, our purpose and our mission is to help lead people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus and only Jesus can change us from the inside out. Of course, what we're seeing in our country today, we're seeing people and the government, I believe, infringe on our rights as believers in this country. And part of that is the LGBTQ bill that was just passed in the House, I believe, and may or may not pass in the Senate. But we're asking if you'd like to call and talk to Caleb at 888-528-2557. And I want to go to Frankie, who's calling from Los Angeles. Frankie, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I actually just accidentally turned on to the station, and hearing the topic, it comes true to my life. I was raised in ministry, in church, from 1 year old up until 14, 15-ish is when, you know, me being a teenager, walking away from God. But I did go into the same sex and the LBG community for 10 years, you know, and it was hurtful to my mother, you know, trying not to feel betrayed by God, by her daughter, you know, but it was my choice. Mm. And now I can stand here saying I've been out for 10 years, and I have a husband that I've been with for 10 years. I have 2+4 more beautiful children. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I even tattooed a rainbow on me, and for a long time I was bound by the rainbow being pride and being, you know, identified as what you are and who you're with, right?
Right.
You look at the rainbow and, oh, right away, that's gay. This is a lesbian. That's, you know, but now standing where I am with God, and I can say the rainbow is meaning of new life, and, you know, in what it says in the Word, and what the rainbow is for a new breath of air. And I just, for people out there, parents, don't give up. You know, don't feel that your child is ever too lost, whether it's sin, like you said, sin is sin, other sins is just as worse, you know. But, you know, I've only shared my testimony maybe like 3 times,
right?
And I've been serving God for 10 years, so I even felt ashamed to say my testimony out loud. But now I know that where society is now and these teenagers and the, you know, kids, small children now. So I have learned to not claim my testimony, but just glorify God through it.
And, hey, Frankie, you know, Frankie, 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 listen to me. There are no accidents. God wanted you to hear, and he wanted you to call in today, and you're speaking literally to millions of people all over this city. And there are many people that have walked down that road, and there are our loved ones who are concerned about their children who have chosen this lifestyle. And so your words today have been an encouragement to all of our listeners, certainly to me and to Caleb. And I want to just thank you for calling in and continue to tell your story. And if I could just ask you one follow-up question, it would be, what was it that triggered in you to get out of that lifestyle and to begin to, you know, to walk down that path that God has called you to? What was it that triggered that? Do you have a moment or a?
Yeah, I think for me I was in a 5-year relationship and with a woman, and it was towards the end where I just was feeling like, this isn't it. My life isn't going to be just this. And I mean, we even talked about having a baby, and you know how some women say that the biological clock is ticking, you know?
Yes.
I kind of feel like the yearning of a baby, and believe me, we were like, okay, we'll do it this way, we'll look into this, we'll save money, but that wasn't it. And so I moved out, you know, we ended things and I moved out. And I think that's when my mom got on her knees even harder. And that's when, like, just, you know, coming back into, you know, like stepping out of that lifestyle. And then I went to high school with my husband, but, you know, we had a year's gap and we had an unofficial high school reunion. And that's when I met, you know, my husband now, and we've been together 10 years and God stepped in. And, you know, I had my first child at 30 years old. And so it was just, you know, I think that's what it was for me, that I felt this isn't it. And I got into the Purpose Driven book.
Yes.
I wasn't saved. You know, I was still stepping away from that lifestyle, but I was challenged to read it. And I think that's when I started feeling that call from God again, like that pulling, this isn't it, this isn't it. And here I am today, 10 years. This year, in 10 years, I stepped out of that lifestyle. And
Frankie, I want to put you on hold here, but I want you to talk to our caller and give your phone number, because I want to talk to you off air. And Caleb, how inspiring was her story right there? What did that do to your heart right there, listening to that?
Dude, that warms my heart. And what really warms my heart is she said, I wrote down a lot of what she said, but she said that she was ashamed of her testimony, but then she really surrendered it to Jesus. She's like, how can I glorify God through my testimony? And I think that's what it's all about. It's about making Jesus the Lord of your whole life. It's about surrendering. You know, there is complete freedom and total surrender to Jesus. It sounds, you know, opposite and paradoxical, but you will never be more free than when you are surrendered to the Lord. And it doesn't mean you won't go through struggle, but man, that was so encouraging. And you can just tell she loves Jesus.
Oh, that brought me to tears right there, brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's what it's all about.
I got to follow up with her, and Frank needs to have her in and talk with her on air.
100%.
She has a testimony. Caleb, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I can't believe how fast this hour went by, but this sounds strange, but I've said this in the pulpit. I want every gay and lesbian person in this entire city to come to my church. I want them there in the church. And I want to be able to love them. I want to be able to let them know that there are people that it doesn't matter what they do, that they're loved and that they're cared for. But at the same time, I can't not teach, you know, what the Bible says about any sin. And, you know, I think that woman's testimony, she knew she was involved in that relationship and she knew deep down it was not satisfying. And God brought her out of that, and you could just listen to her. She is now fulfilled. And that's really the word to anyone who's listening today. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if you know of a friend, you know, don't ever give up. Don't ever ostracize them, but keep loving them and keep encouraging them. But I always think of Galatians 6:1 that says that if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. We need sermons on that. We need churches to practice that. But Caleb, we literally just have 1 minute. And again, anyone wants to get a hold of you, they can get a hold of you at Messy Grace Group, messygracegroup.org. But you've got a book called Messy Grace that I would encourage every person to read, and you've got a book coming out in August called Messy Truth. But Caleb, literally, you got about 30 seconds now, because I took part of your time, just to encourage people to not give up, and if you're in that lifestyle, to come back to the Lord.
Come back to the Lord. Don't worry about what people think about you. Just start attending church and just see what God does. Nobody's asking you to do anything. Just come and hear and listen and let Jesus move in your heart. That's what I would say, because you are more loved than you will ever know.
And pick up a copy of Caleb's book, Messy Grace, which they can find online. And again, thank you for this past hour. Caleb, you are one of a kind, and I'm so glad our paths crossed. And thankful for your ministry, not just here in Los Angeles, but around the entire globe. This is Dudley Rutherford filling in on the Frank Sontag Show.